Welcome to Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a program dedicated to biblical truth and prophecy featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We're broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. The broadcast date for this program is July 7, 2013. After this program with anything at all, call me. If you need a prayer, you can also call me. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And in emergency, you can call me on my cell phone number, which is 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. And folks, you can always find updates for the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor our guest's will. But please, just give everybody out there ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, tonight I have back with me one of your favorites and mine, conservative investigative show host Ben Barrick is back on with us. Ben is a writer whose columns have appeared on Pajamas Media, Human Events, American Thinker, Brett Bart's, Big Sites. Barrick has a bachelor's degree in broadcast journalism from Slippery Rock University. We better keep an eye on him, Slippery Rock, you know. And a master's, and a master's in business administration from Nova Southeastern University in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He has his own radio talk program in Texas, and he does work with Waleed Shubat, an ex-Muslim Brotherhood terrorist, who's also been on our programs many times. Get his book, Unsung David's 10 Men Who Battled Goliath Without Gordy, and Islamophobia, which is a really good book, of course. They both are. Well, welcome, Ben.
Hey, nice to be with you again, Pat.
Yeah, great to be back with somebody from Slippery Rock, right?
Yeah. That was actually, you know, somebody actually founded, the guy who founded the town actually slipped on a rock. That's what happened.
Really? That's funny. Well, you know, it's just the way that it's funny, you know. Slippery Rock. But, hey, there's been some slippery slopes going on out there with our president, and you're going to start building the case for him being impeached. And give us the latest on Benghazi. So,
this is very interesting in light of what's going on in Egypt right now with, the Muslim Brotherhood president and the military claiming that because he's involved, he's directly implicated in the Benghazi attacks of 9/11, and the reason that this is, I mean, you look at this, it appears to be smoking gun type stuff, and what it does in addition to that is it draws the Obama administration closer into that particular scandal. For several reasons, but for starters, let's go back to September 13th. This was 2 days after the Benghazi attack. Waleed had uncovered a YouTube video in Arabic, and that video was from a cell phone that was shot in real time at the scene of the attacks, during the attacks, and it was a cell phone video shot by what appears to be a group of gunmen. One of the gunmen is shooting the cell phone video. And there are other gunmen running towards them. And at one point, you hear in Arabic, which has been translated, you hear one of the gunmen say, "Don't shoot, don't shoot, Morsi sent us," meaning the Muslim Brotherhood president of Egypt, who had just been recently sworn in at that point. In fact, it was not too long ago, June 30th, 1 year ago on June 30th is when he was sworn in as president. But all that to say, the video shows that there were gunmen at the scene as the attack was taking place, saying in order to protect themselves, don't shoot, we were sent by Morsi.
Really?
Yes, and you can watch that video. It's on the Shabbat website. You can actually Google just ironclad, Egypt involved in Benghazi attacks, and you'll find that as part of the report that we just completed. But all that to say, you have that floating out there, and it garnered a little bit of attention, and we were getting emails from people saying, "Hey, the video has been pulled down." We didn't have anything to do with that. The video has been pulled down, but you know there was a lot of interest in that video in the months after that, and when people were starting to dig into this. But we actually found a newer version of the video, and it has been posted. But concurrent with that, and as this video is out there, a guy named Raymond Ibrahim, who you might know, he writes for Gatestone Institute. He's another Arabic translator. Now, he has uncovered a Libyan intelligence document that was drafted and written shortly after the attacks, and it corroborates the video, because in this Libyan document, this intelligence document, it identifies and it says that Ansar al-Sharia from Egypt, I mean, we know now that Ansar al-Sharia was involved in the attack, but this document says that they were from Egypt and that there was a terrorist cell from Ansar al-Sharia from Egypt, and that they interrogated several of the people that were arrested after the attack, and six of them were from the Ansar al-Sharia Egyptian cell. And they, according to this document, they identified Morsi as well as having sent them or as having been involved in this attack.
Really?
So when you couple two completely independent sources,
right?
Not only are they independent, but one is after the fact, one is real-time during the fact, and they corroborate with each other. You have a very significant find, you know. And sometimes, you know, you say a smoking gun is one piece of evidence. In this particular case, it appears that the combination of two pieces of evidence may constitute a smoking gun.
Wow.
So then we get into, well, what was Morsi doing? I mean, if Morsi was involved, think about this. If Morsi was involved in the 9/11 attack on Benghazi.
Right.
He's the president of a nation state. That constitutes an act of war, in my book.
Sure it does. Sure it does.
That's what we're talking about here. And what has been the mantra coming out of the left and all the political elite, for that matter, ever since we started to see terrorist attacks in abundance against American targets in the early 90s, and ever since it's always been, well, we have a difficult time fighting this enemy because they're not part of a nation state. Well, we have this evidence implicated. I mean, as Morsi, we don't know what's going to happen there as far as him staying in power. But we have evidence shortly after the attacks in Benghazi that the administration absolutely must have had. It at least had access to it that implicated the president of a nation state in an attack on American soil that killed four Americans, including the top State Department official, Christopher Stevens. And yet, instead of, this is where you get, this Obama administration gets into trouble, I believe, is because what did we learn? We learned that as a result of the research that came out a couple months ago, we learned that the talking points had been scrubbed. References to Ansar al-Sharia were removed.
Right.
And we know that Ansar al-Sharia is connected to Egypt and has ties to Morsi, according to this document. So the Obama administration, at some level, and they want to pin it on the CIA, which is what they've been trying to do, but they scrubbed the Ansar al-Sharia references for Susan Rice, who went out there and not only didn't mention Ansar al-Sharia, but also defended Morsi.
Right.
At one of those talk shows. I believe it was the...
Well, okay, a couple of things before my old mind, which, by the way, folks, we are pre-recording this on July 3rd, because I'm bringing that up because of a talking point, but I'd say old mind, tomorrow's my birthday, July 4th. Anyway, I'll be 58 years young.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Anyway, happy birthday, America, as long as you can stand. Anyway, but let's go with this. It makes you wonder why they're protecting Morsi with the connection. You know, you see over the past months or, what I say, years, you've been exposing a lot about not Benghazi, but the connections between the Muslim Brotherhood and the State Department, Hillary Clinton, and ergo that would also be the White House. But this information, and I want to put this out there, folks, if when you listen to this, if you haven't listened to my program that I just got through taping with Joel Richardson, who just got back from the Middle East, which, by the way, Ben, you know Joel. He is the author.
Co-author of God and Terror, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. With Waleed. And Waleed might want to call him and ask him about this. But anyway, he told me on radio, and so if you haven't listened to that program, folks, you need to go back, because while we were talking about Bible prophecy, he brought up this interesting fact towards near the end of the program that he is getting ready to interview a man that, well, he's checking out the credentials of a man that told him he was in the election office in Egypt when Morsi was elected. But Morsi wasn't elected. The other side won. And they got a call from the White House, or, you know, the Obama administration, that told him to change the vote to Morsi having won. Well, that's just... You know, Joel wouldn't just say that on the air if he didn't have some idea of that being somewhere credible. What do you think?
Well, I don't know enough to comment on that. That would certainly be a bombshell if it could be corroborated. But at this point, it's looking like Morsi's being removed by force, courtesy of the military. Although, This is something that's completely in flux, and we don't know what's going to happen.
Right. Well, the last that I heard, and folks, by the time we talk about this, we're talking about it, Sunday it will have played out, but right now the last I heard, Ben, is that Morsi was under house arrest, you know, in Egypt, and the military had indeed taken over. Right. But anyway, so, you know, what is all these connections, you know, between, what do you think about the Muslim Brotherhood and because that's who Morsi is, isn't he? Isn't he the Muslim Brotherhood, basically?
He is. And the Muslim Brotherhood is the umbrella group for Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Ansar al-Sharia. You know, it is like the parent of all of these Sunni Islamist fundamentalist terrorist groups. So the document, and this is another find that we came across, the Libyan document that was uncovered by Raymond Ibrahim that talks about Morsi and the Egyptian terror cell and Ansar al-Sharia's involvement in Benghazi, also made reference to Dar el-Hekma and one other, Al-Naf television, These were very significant because we actually wrote about these as well about the same time that we did the video on September 13th. Dar al-Hekma is translated to House of Wisdom. And there was a guy, and we've got a very interesting timeline, because from September 6th of 2012 in Benghazi, the Innocence of Muslims video started to surface in Arabic media, and that's when this all started to play out. And then on the 7th, Wissam Abdul Waris of Dar al-Hekma came out and publicly criticized the video. Then a day later, on September 8th, Al-Naf Television, which has got a program on there with a Salafist host, who is, you know, Salafists are really, you know, in your face extremists. This is, we're talking, that's like Wahhabist kind of stuff. Just one grade below them as far as virulence. But they were on this Al Naaf television, and during this program is when they played a portion, an excerpt of the Innocence of Muslims video,
right,
the anti-Muhammad video that was pinned on the attacks, and they played it in Arabic. And then on September 9th, one day later, this Darul Hekma character, Wissam Al Abdul Waris, was on another video, another television program, and he talked about the reason that this video is a problem and what needs to happen. And what needs to happen is, and this guy's from Egypt, what needs to happen is that the criticism of Islam, of anything Islam, needs to be criminalized in all countries, even non-Muslim countries. So that's September 9th. So they're already ginning up this kind of anger about criticizing Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And then on September 10th, that's when Christopher Stevens flies into Benghazi. And then September 11th, we all know what happens. You've got the protests at Egypt, at our embassy in Egypt, and you have the attack in Benghazi. What people have speculated about, and in particular a retired four-star admiral named James Lyons, who was on Lou Dobbs' show back on November 14th of last year, he was very, very forthright about speculating that he believed that the reason the embassy was attacked was that it was a kidnapping operation. And the plan was to capture Christopher Stevens and exchange him for the blind sheikh. Now, the blind sheikh is the guy that was convicted of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the mastermind behind it. But Morsi, ever since, I mean, he practically ran on the platform of releasing the blind sheikh.
Right.
And in the months after getting elected, he made it his mission. Now, to contrast Egyptian politics with American politics, that's an extreme position. When you're taking the position that I'm going to release the blind sheikh, you would think that what you're doing is you're appealing to your base to get elected.
Right, right.
But in this case, this guy was doing this after he had already been elected. So he was appealing, you know, calling for the release of the blind sheikh, blah, blah, blah. Ansar al-Sharia has as its mission, and it says this in the Libyan intelligence document as well, to free Islamic prisoners.
Well, let me butt in here a moment. You know, what you say is kind of shocking, and maybe it's kind of in Morsi's favor. I mean, we're saying that before the election, like an American election, we go out there and say, well, we don't. I don't know. I'm not electable.
Right.
Or want to be electable.
I'd elect you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'll run for office this next year. I think I wouldn't say anybody. But anyway, I'd elect you too, Ben. Anyway, for the record, we ought to put Waleed up. That's who we ought to put up. Yeah. Anyway, but my point is this, is it would be like, you know, saying before the election, okay, I'm going to do this, but unlike our politicians that usually don't fulfill what we say we're going to do, it looks like Morsi was trying to fulfill what he said he'd do, you know what I mean?
Right.
And like you say, in contrast to American politics, that don't seem to follow through. Well, wait a minute. I can't say that. We got to throw this into the basket. Obama did tell us that he was going to fundamentally change America, and I think he's pretty much succeeded in that.
He has. There's no doubt about that. I think there has been a fundamental transformation. I don't think he sees it as complete. That bodes well for sane people and clear thinking individuals and people who love this country and people who don't want it to see it destroyed or transformed. I think that bodes well for those. That's a good sign.
Right.
But I think he's made tremendous strides. And, you know, I've said it before. I think that the sickness that has beset America I think that, more telling than the election of Barack Obama is his re-election. The fact that this country would, after 4 years of this in-your-face socialism, communism, pro-Muslim brotherhood sympathy, after 4 years of this, and the economy, not to mention that, that this country would then re-elect him, I think that, tells, I think that more than anything else, that fact should tell us how sick we are as a country.
Well, I agree. Part of my problem that I have is the fact that, you know, it's the armchair thing with Americans. You know, there's so many Americans that just go to work and they come home and we don't want to get off work and they'll watch a little bit of the 5 o'clock news or whatever. And so they're spoon fed by the media. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And without, like, you know, thank goodness, or God, really, for the Internet, because we have people that are going around the broadcast news now and going to the Internet. But so many people are spoon-fed all that stuff, and from the local newspapers that are so much liberal, you know, and they're not really investigating, you know, who they vote for. Oh, he's good-looking. You know, the women voted for him because they thought he was cute. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's not like they really dug into the facts. And so we're paying for that now. And that is sick for a nation. That is sick for a nation.
Yeah, it is. And, I wish that, look, when you talk about people who are, you just hit on it, about, you know, people just wanting to go to work. Look, you and I are in the business, at least to, you know, varying degree. We're in the business of informing people. We're in the business of digging up research and getting it out there to as many people as possible. And when we look at this stuff, and it's so blatantly obvious to us, it's scary that so many other people don't even know a fraction of that. And it's not because we're smarter. It's just because we have more time to focus on that kind of thing. But what I think we need to keep in mind is that there's two sides to this coin. We need people out there keeping the engines of commerce running that are not going to be as informed as we are. So we need that. And I like to give them a pass on that. But at the same time, I think there's a level of involvement and engagement that they need to have that's greater than what it currently is, despite the fact that they're out there, you know, keeping the engine of commerce running. I think that there are people, when you talk about, you know, just the other day we were talking about having a rally, with our listeners. We were talking about having a rally in downtown Austin and getting people out there. And, you know, people were calling and saying, you know, I work. I don't have time to do this kind of stuff, you know, like the other side does. That's no longer an excuse because things are getting so dicey that you're not going to be able to work and have the living that you currently have unless you do something about it. And I think that we're getting to that point where it's going to be a delicate mix between keeping the engines of commerce running and getting as many people informed as possible. I've seen it. I think people can do both. People can go to work every day and also stay informed, but they've got to have to, after they get home from work, even though they don't feel like it, they got to get on the computer and they got to educate themselves instead of watching Kim Kardashian and Kanye West as if they're some sort of paragons of virtue.
Paragons of virtue. Boy, that says a lot about America. You know, I wholeheartedly agree. We become a nation so bent on, you know, pleasure of our eyes and things and relaxation, then, you know, to want to get involved with the news. They do have time, you know what I mean, to do that. And if, you know, unless they're walking drop dead in, passing out or whatever, but they need to get informed. Or like you say, there isn't going to be a country left. I mean, if perchance that we lose the House in 2014, that'd be the next election, right? 2014,
yeah.
If we lose the House in 2014 and Obama and all his cronies can run wild for the next few years, then there won't be an America left.
Well, the Republican Party establishment is doing all it can, it seems, to lose that election. You know, whether it's getting Marco Rubio and John McCain and Lindsey Graham and you know, even our congressman down here, John Carter, we have been railing on him. John Carter is a House, he's a Republican in the House Conservative, or House of Representatives, and he's one of the more conservative, known as one of the more conservative representatives, yet he is one of the Gang of Eight in the House, and he's touring the country with a registered socialist.
Wow.
You remember the 111th Congress, there were 70 members of that Congress that were registered with the Democratic Socialist Caucus of America. Luis Gutierrez, who John Carter is touring the country with to push this immigration reform, Luis Gutierrez is one of those 70.
Well, I'm going to have to break in. We're going to have to go for a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about this and more immigration reform or whatever. And we'll be back, folks, in about 3 minutes with more from Ben Barrick. Okay.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now. Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
As I try to figure out what this world is all about, I know one thing without a doubt, my Lord is in control. Perilous times I know are here, men's hearts failing because of fear. But here's one thing I know is clear, my Lord is in control. Your food, and I won't need. stress of nations on every hand, false messiahs throughout the land. But here's one thing I know will stand, my Lord is in control. Signs and wonders are in the skies, disease and famine are on the rise. And even though tears fill my eyes, my Lord is in control. He's in control. Yes, it's everything I know. And soon he's coming back to take me home. Things may get worse, but if I keep my Savior first, then I won't need to worry.
This is Pastor Dan, and you're listening to American Voice Radio. This is Mission Watch. Remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. You know, we really don't get any help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that supported us for the last 13 years, and now we started 14 years in June to make this mission church work. This last week, I noticed many new faces in the mission church, one of which I talked about last week, which of course was a woman. She was really clean cut, mannerly. Well, she looked like somebody's grandma. And, you know, since then, we've had many other women come in. They keep wanting to know when Mercy, the woman's shelter, is going to be open. And, well, let me read this. This expresses something out of the Bible. We find in the book of James, chapter 2, says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say, have faith and not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye filled and warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things that are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac upon the altar? Seest thou that faith wrought with his works, and works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then how it works. A man is justified, and not only by faith. Likewise, was not also Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received a messenger and had sent them out another way? For the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead, being also." And this also goes into our conversation, what we're talking about tonight. We'll talk about that in a minute. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love is the answer. Treat it as family is the second. And three, we really have no set guidelines. Everybody has programs. They say, Pastor Dan, what's your program? Well, I don't know. I have a radio program, but I don't have a program for the people. The program is they just walk in the door, they ask, and if we have what we need, we give it to them. If we don't have what they need, we try and pray and fill that need in. Well, we do pray. We try to fill the need in. This is why the agencies tell all their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. And you see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send them to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers' keepers. all donations, no matter what size, helps. And folks, your Father does notice all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online by mailing a check or money order. You can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. And you folks that are listening out there on radio or don't use internet, you're more than welcome to call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And now we're back with Ben Barrick. Or is that Barack?
Barrick, not Barack.
I just wanted to get your gang's
call. Yeah, I know.
As we were starting to go out, we were talking about immigration, but I want to say something about that scripture. You know, it says, faith without works is dead, being alone. And, you know, that's kind of actually how I look at some of these people in this election process. You know, they may have faith that they'll vote for the right guy or whatever, but they're not doing the work. They need to go out and do the work, do the research, find out something about them. You know, the most amazing thing that to me is that all of these things that we saw, have seen Obama do, we pretty much warned about it and knew about it well before the first election.
And the liberal media still has the bully pulpit.
Yeah.
Even after all of that.
Wow.
But, you know, real quick on the Benghazi thing, I think what we need to look at, one very important question needs to be answered. The question is, with all of the evidence that Mohamed Morsi was involved, and the Egyptian government was involved in the attacks at Benghazi that killed 4 Americans, why is it that A, the Obama administration covered it up, and B, why is it that they protected Morsi? That's a question that we need to have answered. And I tell you what, if there is any truth, and there is increasing evidence to support this, if there is any evidence that the Obama administration in any way collaborated with Morsi's government about some botched kidnapping operation in Benghazi, that would destroy Obama. It would destroy him. And we saw that as the Benghazi scandal was getting hot in May, that the IRS scandal broke.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I believe it was Michelle Bachmann who suggested that the Obama administration attempted to deflect attention away from Benghazi and toward the IRS scandal, the IRS. Now, and we do know that it was a planted question.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was a planted. They did bring it out on their own.
Right. So what that says is that as bad as the IRS scandal is, the Benghazi scandal was worse, if that is indeed what happened. But I tell you what, we also uncovered something else, which I believe you're familiar with, about Lois Lerner and the IRS scandal. And there is reason to believe this may just be as big as Benghazi. And in particular, the Daily Caller, Charles Johnson, came out with a story about Lois Lerner, who is the lady who pleaded the fifth at the hearing. Lois Lerner, the director of tax-exempt organizations, signed a document approving the 501c3 status application of the Barack H. Obama Foundation, which was headed by Malik Obama,
right,
Barack Obama's half-brother. Now, she not only approved this expeditiously in less than 30 days, when the Tea Party groups were waiting three, four years, but she retroactively backdated it to April of 2008, which was 38 months prior to, when the law only permitted her to do it for 27 months. So the document itself is illegal. It implicates Lois Lerner, whose signature is at the bottom of that document, in the commission of malfeasance and fraud. But that's not the big part of the story.
Really?
Yeah, the big part of the story is the Barack H. Obama Foundation's president and founder, Malik Obama.
Yeah.
This is Barack Obama's half-brother. They were best man at each other's wedding. And Malik Obama has a resident status in Washington, D.C., and also travels to and from Kenya. He has 12 wives. He is a Muslim. He is the executive secretary for the Islamic Dawah Organization, which is an arm of the Sudanese government. Sudan is one of 4 countries that the U.S. State Department placed on its list of state sponsors of terrorism.
Right.
It is only one of four countries on that list. The president, Omar al-Bashir, is wanted by the ICC's International Criminal Court for war crimes against humanity. Seven on seven different counts. He's the guy that's committed genocide and either killed or displaced millions of people in Sudan. This is the guy that George Clooney, the far-left liberal wacko, is out there trying to get arrested. But he won't tell you. What he won't tell you is that Malik Obama works for Omar al-Bashir's government as the executive secretary of the Islamic Dawah Organization. We have the photos of those two men at the same conference in 2010.
Really?
And Malik's boss is a guy named Suar al-Dahab. Suar al-Dahab is also a former president of Sudan, but Suar al-Dahab was just this past May was in Gaza with the prime minister of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, and the spiritual leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, Yusuf al-Qaradawi.
Right.
Hobnobbing with these guys. We got photos of Malik with him. We've got photos of Dahab with Haniyeh and with Qaradawi. I mean, what Lois Lerner did by signing that document is make herself an accessory to terror funding.
Oh, wow. I didn't think of it like that. Well, you know what? Then that says the latest headline that I saw about Lois is that she says that she'll testify, but she wants immunity.
That's right.
And so, you know, really what I say, I don't like her or whatever, give her immunity. Maybe she'll spill the beans because, you know, with as much stuff that it seems like every day something else is coming out. Somebody is seeing somebody else talking, so somebody else talks, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm hoping that I think that this country would be in shock if the things that we're talking about, if the normal media finally gets to them and they really lift the veil and look at this presidency, they'll find that, you know, I mean, come on, it looks like a whole group of traitors have did a coup and taken over the White House.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly what it looks like. And you know, I know for a fact that Ted Cruz's people are aware of this story about Malik Obama. I mean, Ted Cruz is out there talking about abolishing the IRS and getting the fair tax, which is great. I mean, that is what we need to happen.
Yeah,
but,
amen.
But the thing about it is, it's Lois Lerner's. I love it how Lois Lerner pleads the fifth and then says, I did nothing wrong, and then says, oh, yeah, give me immunity. I mean, I don't know what that means, but I would say it's probably an indication of guilt and probably a commission of perjury if you say you didn't do anything wrong when you know you did.
Right.
But all that to say, if she's granted immunity, the other half of that is that these congressmen on the committee have to confront her about this. They have to confront it. I know for a fact that Ted Cruz's people, one in particular, knows about this.
Right.
I had correspondence with him more than once about this, but they're not touching it. And I don't understand why. I don't know
well,
if it's political calculation or what, but
maybe they're waiting,
that is a
you
huge
know.
Story.
Maybe they need to peel it down like an onion from the outside in, you know what I'm saying? Because we
did all that for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if people would go back and go clear back when we were talking about Anthony Weiner, I guess he's going to be the next mayor of New York, right?
He's in the lead.
Have you, for the record, have you noticed how Drudge Report has been saying about he kind of puts puns about
yes.
Weiner? Oh, that's just terrible.
Well, he doesn't have to do it. They're doing it for him. If you notice, Huma, who is Anthony Weiner's wife, Huma Abedin,
right.
Muslim brother, who, by the way, her mother and the wife of President Morsi in Egypt are co-colleagues. As the leaders in the Muslim Sisterhood, two of 63 women in that group. But Huma Abedin's sister, Heba, so you've got Huma and Heba. These two women have launched a fundraising campaign called Women for Wiener.
I'm no, that's terrible. I haven't, and you know, I thought I got through all that having to talk about Anthony for, and I say Anthony, so I don't have to say the other thing, because I remembered when we talked about him on radio, it was just so hard to say Anthony Weiner with any kind of a straight face, let alone what he did. You know what I mean? That concerned that body part.
Right with that,
you know,
yeah.
It's right with that.
Well, and not only that, but now he's at gay pride parade waving gay pride flags, you know, and, yeah, and people holding up wiener signs. I mean, what is this?
What have we gotten to?
Huma and Heba. I'm a wiener, Huma's a wiener. I mean, who knows?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, it's just terrible. But really, though, you did have it right. You, if they would have been on top and listening to talk radio, listening to what you've been talking about, exposing who she is and everything, I mean, look at the connection. You say, you know, Morrissey's wife is Anthony Weiner's, you know, wife's mother. And
no, Morrissey's wife and Huma's mother.
Huma's mother.
Our colleagues.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Come on, what kind of connection? I mean, look at the connections. And people say act like there is no connection. Just they've thrown such a blanket after 9/11. You know, you'd think that the country would still be angry over Muslims.
I know.
But yet it's like, oh, we need to embrace those poor little people. Did you hear? You seen the video or heard about it? The priest getting his head cut off.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's the Syrian rebels that we're talking about giving guns to.
Right.
Or actually, and this is what I was going to ask you about. You know, I noticed several World Net Daily reports pointing to it, saying that we have actually already been giving those Syrian soldiers arms, and you know, been arming the Muslim Brotherhood all along.
I have no doubt about that. That would not surprise me in the least. Not in the least. And, you know, if you say that, you're a conspiracy theorist. But, I mean, just look at the evidence. There's so much evidence. I mean, that you know, weapons were being shipped to Turkey. There was a ship there that left, you know, to Turkey, you know, that we know the Hillary Clinton line after getting asked about it. I mean, there's plenty of evidence. Real quick, though, I want to the Huma thing. I think people need to step back and think about this for a second. What we're asking, what we're seeing here, is that New Yorkers, New York City voters, are on the, they're actually, in the majority of people there that are voting, are considering putting a Muslim Brotherhood daughter as the First Lady of New York City, the city that was hit on 9/11. The Muslim Brotherhood is the umbrella for Al Qaeda,
right?
And Huma Abedin is tied to that at the hip, and they're talking about making her the First Lady of the city that was attacked. If people got up in arms about the Ground Zero Mosque and are not getting even more up in arms about this, I don't know what to say about the people of New York. They're checked out. They're gone.
Well, you know, it goes back to that, like we said earlier in the program. I mean, you know, where has America gone to that we can't, I mean, you know, where's everybody at? I don't get it. I mean, thinking back 20 years ago, these kind of things that we're talking about, number one, they couldn't have ever happened. But
right,
if they did happen like this, people would be screaming from the rooftops.
Well, I think that the main thing is, look, you had George Bush. You know, say what you will about him, good or bad, but he was up to the Muslim Brotherhood. He was up to his neck in Muslim Brotherhood. Okay, and you know, in the days before and the days after 9/11, Grover Norquist and his Muslim Brotherhood colleague Suhail Khan, they ingratiated themselves with the Bush administration, and they opened the doors to the White House, and the leaders of all of the Muslim Brotherhood groups, the ISNA, the NSA, MPAC, CARE, all of them were given access to the Oval Office. They were given access to George W. Bush. And who else is there at the time? Karl Rove. So we have Republicans in power right before and right after 9/11. It was a fatally flawed strategy to embrace Muslim Brotherhood groups in the days, weeks, and months after 9/11. And that's what I believe the Republican establishment doesn't want to get out because it would so torpedo the George Bush legacy.
Right.
That I think they're doing all they can to protect it. Do you ever hear Karl Rove talk about the Muslim Brotherhood today? Never hear him talk about that. Do you ever hear Jeb Bush talk about it? No, Jeb Bush is running on a platform of granting amnesty to all these illegals. What will that do? That will dilute the conservative vote. It'll dilute the Tea Party vote, and that's where the knowledge about the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamic groups exists. I believe, I'm not saying this is their sole reason,
right. But
I believe that one of the reasons that they're doing this, that we're seeing the establishment fight against conservative Tea Party and actually welcome in new Democratic voters, is to dilute the knowledge base in this country to the point where the truth about what the Republican Party did under George W. Bush, fatally flawed strategy in the war on terror, fatally flawed.
Well, you know, in saying this about that real quick, if they do this amnesty for the illegals, you know, America, as if it isn't already gone as we know it, it will be gone.
Yeah.
You know, we need, you know, Sarah, but, you know, it scares me about that. Sarah Palin was talking about starting a Freedom Party, but, you know, that can work really drastically against us, too, because it split the vote, the Republican vote,
right.
And once again, they would have office. I don't know what the answer is, except that, well, I do know what really the answer could be, besides miraculous intervention from above, which only comes through the country praying as a whole, but... would be for if somehow the news media would wake up, if you know, to wake the people up, because we're really stuck in the mud, and I really don't see a dig out of this. Although if we could nail Obama to the wall and cause enough scandal with it could make it wake up the people mad enough to turn away. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right about one thing here, and that is that the media is not going to change, and we're in this endless struggle, it seems like, trying to win back the country and all that. But I think what's going to do Obama in are world events. I mean, like, for example, and I'm not saying this will do it, but if you look at what's going on in Egypt, if the truth about Barack Obama's propping up of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, and you've got photos all over these protests out there that are just—they're ripping Obama's.
Oh yeah.
And I think that those kinds of events that are outside his control, he loves to think he's in control of everything. You know, with that big old smile, and
right.
I know everything's going on, and I'm running things. And, you know, these kinds of events he has no control over. And
right.
When those things spiral out of control, you know, they reveal. The truth to a lot
right.
of people, because a lot of people start paying attention. I mean, right now I've got texts and emails from people that are totally disconnected from politics that never seem to pay attention, no matter how much I try to
tell them,
bring it to their attention. I got texts and emails from people today saying, "Hey, did you hear about Morsi?"
Yeah.
Egypt? Well, okay, now
now you're watching.
Yeah, now you're paying attention. You know, now you're paying attention. How about you just keep going? Don't stop now.
Right.
You know, and maybe those are the kinds of things that are going to wake people up, and it'll catch their interest, and then they'll start paying attention.
Right.
But I think that's one possible.
Well, I'm praying. That's what I'm saying. It seems to me, you know, that while I was really down again after the elections this time, but you know, to a point, man, I picked myself up naturally and went on, but. Now, though, you know, I almost feel like that, you know, that we're being blessed because, you know, we're seeing all these things come to light and, you know, it's a snowball effect, if you will, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's starting to get bigger and bigger as it spreads out. And if Obama didn't look like a fool before, he's completely a fool for doing, you know, the Snowden thing and not standing up to Russia and China. They just blew him off. You know, who blows off a world leader, let alone the greatest country in the world, supposedly, or greatest superpower? And they both just blew him off like it was nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we only got a couple minutes left, so why don't you give your contact information, and you can hang on with me while I say goodbye to the folks.
Yeah, I think that it seems like I'm writing more for shoebot.com these days than I am for benbarrett.com, so I would encourage people to go there. We're getting a lot of viewers there. We're breaking a lot of stories, and I think that it's really a cutting edge website. If folks want, they should go there. If they want to get more information on the stuff that we're talking about, we're updating the stuff all the time and breaking new stories all the time. And you know what? We're vindicated because this stuff ultimately comes out, like the Anthony Weiner stuff. We broke that in 2011, and it came out in, you know, it came out a year later with Bachman, and it's still out there. And, you know, Mama Sarah Foundation, Barack Obama's grandmother.
We actually talked about that on radio months ago.
So this stuff, this is, you know, our credibility is going up with this stuff. So I think people, you know, the more that happens, the more credible people will see us and go to the website. But you can also pick up Unsung Davids and The Case for Islamophobia.
Yeah, and what's that? What, another thing, absolutely, folks, when you go over to the shoebat.com or shoebot.com, whatever, you can sign up for alerts that you get some wonderful, if you call them wonderful for bad news. Anyway, and you get some wonderful emails every day to let you know what's going on with the latest.
Yeah, definitely sign up for the daily newsletter. We make sure that goats that we determine should be outed, we have corresponding photos that liken them to goats.
Okay. Well, I got to say goodbye to the folks. So, folks, we must remember there is only one God. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses you and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.